You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Blue Panther Business Partners. Blue Panther Business Partners offers practical advice and hands-on assistance to the business owner who never has time for his or her business. Our mission is in tech today is to demystify technology so that consumers seeking solutions for personal or business use can be better informed when making those decisions or hiring individuals to carry out those technological decisions. Each week, we will focus on topics about technology. Segments will include technology news, the latest advice, buying advice for hardware and software, the latest apps, and answering your questions. To contact me during the show, you can find me on Tech Today on Facebook. You can email me at goodmorning@huntonberry.com. The phone number here, 908-237-0410. And if you want to contact me outside of the show, go to bluepantherbiz.com. Lots of great things to talk about. Hopefully your Labor Day was enjoyable and relaxing. And we have plenty of things to talk about that are tech-related. One, it's a little late in getting here, but perhaps you wanted to consider it at some point or want to consider it in the future at some point. It comes from MarketWatch. And Katie Hill reported this article on September 1st, and she says, the makings for your favorite cocktail delivered in under an hour. That's right. In dreaming of a crisp glass of Sauvignon Blanc or an ice-cold IPA or refreshing gin and tonic, but can't stand the idea of having to schlep to the liquor store, you can now get those goodies delivered to you sometimes in under an hour with just a few taps on the smartphone. Last week, Amazon launched a beer, wine, and liquor delivery service for its Prime Now customers in Seattle. One-hour delivery will cost $7.99. Two-hour delivery is free. While Prime Now is available in other U.S. cities, Seattle is the first to get booze as one of the delivery options. Amazon is jumping on an already crowded bandwagon. In the past year or so, at five alcohol delivery apps have launched, and plenty more have expanded into new destinations. That means that residents in more than a dozen cities in the U.S. can now get alcohol delivered to them with a few taps on their smartphone. Some of the biggest players in this field are Drizzly, spelled D-R-I-Z-L-Y, Minibar, and Thirsty, spelled T-H-I-R-S-T-I-E, all of which are in more than a dozen cities apiece, like New York, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. With each of these apps, you'll typically click on what you want to buy, put in your credit card information, and the beverages will arrive in your house in under an hour. Drizzly and Minibar charges $5 delivery fee in most cities. Thirsty is free, excluding the tip. The price you'll pay is the same as if you'd walked into the store, and all make their money by charging a small fee to the local retailers supplying the booze. All the companies add that they have plans to expand into more cities in the coming year or so. Smaller players are getting into the drinking game as well. There are plenty of booze delivery apps focused on a single city or two, like Clink in Washington, D.C., and Brewdrop in Austin, Texas. Both charge a small delivery fee, and you can also get booze as well as your dinner delivered through apps like Instacart, which is a grocery delivery, and Postmates, delivery of a variety of local goodies, both of which are in many cities across the nation. Of course, you'll needn't use an app to get alcohol delivered. Many local liquor stores will deliver for good customers or those who order a large enough quantity. Just call and ask. And if you're looking for well-priced beer, wine, and liquor, you may be better off shopping at one of the warehouse clubs like Costco or Walmart, Sam's Club. In some states, you don't even have to be a member to buy alcohol in the stores. due to variations in state liquor laws. So it continues. We continue to use smartphones and apps as a mechanism to connect the individual with their particular desire to use some type of product. That particular intuition comes up immediately, and then we somehow, some way, want to make sure we can get that to them as soon as possible. That's what the smartphone industry is starting to do now. And it's very important that you start to realize that as a consumer, as a investor, and also as a potential entrepreneur. It's all there. Moving on from there, speaking of entrepreneurs, I thought this was quite unique. And it was a recent broadcast on Shark Tank. A business in Shark Tank known as You Kick Ass has been funded by Mark Cuban. And what they do is they create 3D printed superhero entrepreneurs. So in many custom action figure company known as You Kicked Ass scored a $100,000 investment from Shark Tank's Mark Cuban. How well does the company's personalized 3D printing technology work? Check out these superhero entrepreneurs. So here's what it is. It doesn't do a lot of justice for me to talk about it. But what has happened is essentially they have the ability to 3D print anybody. But in this particular case, they have the ability to 3D print the entrepreneurs themselves and put them into superhero type action figure clothes and colors. So the first one here is Bill Gates, the Microsoft co-founder, and he's wearing white and blue with a blue cape and a lot of white, and he's looking very trim and fit, as a matter of fact. Speaking of trim and fit, how about this one? How about Warren Buffett sitting there in it looks like a red or a salmon. I'm hoping that the color is a little faded in the picture, but Warren Buffett has got a six-pack. And I'm not talking about the Coca-Cola. I'm talking about his abdomen. And he is sitting there in a red long cape. Then they have the entire group of Shark Tank all set up there, which includes Elon Musk. He's in a red, blue, and white. Just a little white trim, but it's essentially a very blue outfit with a red trim and a little white striping. Then we have Jeff Bezos. He's in black and orange, looking very cool there. What is you have the entire group involved from Shark Tank and a couple of those other ones as well. So the deal is that essentially now you can create your own 3D printed superhero. So a great gag gift. In fact, I've come across another company that actually can make bobbleheads. And all you need to do is be able to take a front picture and a side picture of a particular person's head, and they are able to create a bobblehead out of that. And then you can put a certain body on it with whatever you like, a certain team or a certain dress or a certain outfit, and a great little gag gift. So the world of 3D printing is evolving, and we are enjoying a lot of the new ways that it's being used. All right, that is the beginning of our show here at Tech Today. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after our commercial sponsors. We'll be right back. Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent. Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibbe of CompuPay Payroll. The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Hunterdon County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disitel, ceremony officiant with CelebrationOfALifetime.com. I joined the Chamber so I can get to know you and what you're all about, and I hope you want to get to know me and what I'm all about. Then we can celebrate what we can do to make Hunterdon County better.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time. Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
If you're looking to get in front of thousands of new customers, connect with your current customers, you don't want to miss out on the largest business show in Hunterdon County. The 27th annual Hunterdon County Business and Home Expo, coming up on a new date, Thursday, November 5th, in a new location at Hunterdon Central High School in Flemington at the Fieldhouse in Common from 2 to 7 p.m. You surely want to sign up. You surely want to exhibit. Something you don't want to miss. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at HunterdonChamber.org.
Back to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Plenty of other things to talk about again. And one of them happens to be Apple. Now, this is kind of a follow-up to something we talked about last week, as a matter of fact. We had learned about Apple going to launch a new Apple TV. And this article is from Yahoo News, but it's reported through the New York Times and Reuters. It says that Apple TV to launch Apple to launch Apple TV with gaming focus, says the New York Times. So we're getting more corroboration by the rest of the media outlets about what the new Apple TV is going to look like. And it turns out it's going to start to try and take on the standard gaming consoles. Apple Incorporated will be make gaming a key part of its Apple TV product. It is expected to unveil at an event on Wednesday, according to a New York Times online report on Sunday. The article, which cited unnamed people briefed on Apple's plans, said the new product is expected to have a starting price of around $150, more power for better graphics, and a new remote that could double as a controller and an app store for buying games. Apple representatives were not immediately available for comment. The New York Times said that most game executives and analysts see little chance that Apple will be able to win over fans of high-end game consoles such as Microsoft Core Xbox One or Sony's PlayStation 4. But Apple could instead go after the casual gamers who do not want a high-end console, according to the story. On August 27th, Apple invited journalists to an event on Wednesday where it is widely expected to unveil new iPhones and potentially a new version of its Apple TV set-top box. So I will have that information for you next week. But it's an interesting perspective, not only from a tech point of view, but from a business point of view. Apple doesn't see, or the analysts don't see, and perhaps Apple also doesn't see it, a way of infiltrating the Sony PlayStation and the Xbox world. Those people are devotees. They are loyal to that product. But there are so many people playing mobile games on your smartphone with not a lot of skill involved, not a lot of dexterity required, just something to entertain yourself. Much like the Wii, which doesn't have, all of its games aren't as complicated as a Madden. And so perhaps Apple has seen a way to capture their loyal Apple customers with Apple TV and then draw them in to play with their new games that are, you know, Candy Crush-like, things that will entertain you rather than be a skill-related acquisition. So I like the concept. I'm not exactly going to buy the product, but I do like the concept, and I do like the understanding of how it's all working. Moving on from Apple TV, we move on to the world of web, and follow up to the hack of Ashley Madison. And this article from TechCrunch.com says that Ashley Madison hack latest reminder that stupid passwords are stupid. Natasha Lomas posted this article on September 7th, and she says that the recent hack of the of Extramarital Affairs website Ashley Madison, which resulted in data from millions of accounts being dumped online, has one more salutary yet familiar lesson to deliver. Even very well encrypted stupid passwords are still stupid. While plenty of aspects of Ashley Madison's business and operations have raised eyebrows, the firm did apparently use robust and respected encryption for its user passwords. But even bcrypt hashed passwords can be cracked if the user chooses a stupid password like password or 123456. Yep, you can see where this is going. Sure enough, after about 2 weeks running password cracking utilities, Hashcat on the first million passwords from the Ashley Madison database of 36 million bcrypt hashed passwords, security firm Avast has been able to crack 25,393 unique hashes, one of which it says there were 1,064 unique passwords. To be clear, that's unique passwords as in different from other cracked passwords. It's been able to crack so far rather than what an amazing password that's so super complex it'll probably be uncrackable. The firm has been using two known password lists for the crack, the top 500 worst passwords of all time, which dates from 2008, and the 14 million password list that spilled out of the 2009 Rock You hack. Out of the data it's been able to crack so far, it says the top 20 ranked Ashley Madison passwords are as follows. 123456. Number 2 is password. Number 3 is 12345. Number 4 is 12345678. Number 5 is QWERTY. Number 6 is pussy. Number 7 is secret. 8 is dragon. 9 is welcome. 10 is ginger. 11 is Sparky, 12 is Help Me, 14 is Nicole, 15 is Justin, 16 Camaro, 17 is Johnson, 18 Yamaha, 19 Midnight, and 20 is Chris. So, you can see that there is some really dumb passwords out there, so you need to somehow, some way, come up with numbers letters, capitals, and symbols. So start to think about something. Even some of the ones that are here have the potential to be better. Like you could have done Nicole with a capital N and a 1 as the I and a 0 as the O. Something like that is better than Nicole or just using a name. So when you're going out and looking to create your passwords or you're getting reminded by a particular website that you need to change your password, perhaps you would like to think through what that password combination should be. You also might want to look into having a base to your password and then having a prefix or a postfix depending on the website that you're using. So let's say you're creating a password for Facebook. You might come up with something like starter, and starter would have perhaps a number for the E. And so you might have a 3 in there. So it would be S-T-A-R-T-3-R. And then you put F-B on the end for Facebook. And then when you have Twitter, you'd have starter, S-T-A-R-T-3-R, with T-W at the end. You see, so it's something that you know, but it's also something that's hard to figure out because it's got acronyms and it's got numbers. That is the way you need to start thinking about passwords. Or you can start using some type of a password vault on your computer, and that might be something to think about. However, I'm not a big fan of a password vault that's in the cloud to work on all your different devices. That's just putting more issues into the world where now all your passwords are being managed by somebody else outside of your control. Not into that. So really think about that when you're deciding on a particular password vault application. Have a password vault that's local on your computer, local on your phone, and yes, you're going to have them updated in by yourself every so often. It's really not that big a deal, but it manages your passwords, and you'll be able to handle them better. Moving on from that scandal, that problem, I have a Consumer Reports article here that says, fund me or fraud me? Crowdfunding scams are on the rise. Written by Catherine Friedman of ConsumerReports.org for September 4th, she says, crowdfunding site Kickstarter proclaims, "We welcome and support projects in diverse categories, such as arts, photography, technology, and theater. How about in scamming? Because crowdfunding is built on trust, it's ripe for fraud. People solicit money from strangers for their projects, usually through online platforms like Kickstarter, Indiegogo, and GoFundMe. In return, they usually offer rewards, a sample of the product, for example, a commemorative T-shirt or a digital download. But whereas in the past, a network of friends and family could vouch for their credibility before contributing cash, today's creators are only as reliable as their promises. And those promises don't always deliver. The Federal Trade Commission recently settled its first crowdfunding fraud case against a project creator who scammed contributors out of more than $122,000. His name was Eric Chevalier, using the business name The Forking Path Company, asked for funding to produce a board game called The Doom of Atlantic City, which had been designed by two prominent board game artists. Nearly 1,250 backers pledged $75 or more, hoping to get a copy of the game or one of its prized figurines. Over 14 months, Chevalier provided periodic updates, quote-unquote, on his progress. Then he announced that he was canceling the project. Although Chevalier promised to refund the contributions, in fact, according to the FTC complaint, Chevalier neither refunded the money nor provided any rewards. Instead, he spent the money on unrelated personal expenses, including rent, moving to Oregon, personal equipment, and licenses for a different project. Similar fraud campaigns were unveiled after the fact on sites such as Kickscammed, Facebook's GoFraudMe page, and Android Police. Jen Hintz is accused of using $26,000 plus raised on Kickstarter for fibers and indie yam dyeing business to fund her move from North Carolina to Massachusetts. The project founders of Carois Meteor smartwatch made off with $1.5 million raised on Indiegogo for a waterproof, voice-activated wearable device that could also track your sleep. An Iowa woman raised thousands of dollars through GoFundMe to pay for her daughter's cancer treatments when, in fact, the child was healthy. While Letha K. Slauson, the Iowa woman, was given 5 years probation, other penalties amount to little more than a slap on the wrist. Under the FTC settlement, Chevalier is prohibited from making misrepresentations about future crowdfunding projects, is barred from disclosing or benefiting from customers' personal information, and was fined $111,793.71, which was suspended due to Chevalier's inability to pay. How to spot a scammer? The FTC isn't yet able to identify one crowdfunding site as more prone to scams and fraud than another. Quote, we rely on consumer complaints as a barometer, but we're not a good one-to-one measure of prevalence in the marketplace, explains Helen Wong, a lawyer for the FTC. However, Wong notes, quote, there's been an uptick in consumer complaints since the case was announced. The case was alerted consumers to the fact that the FTC is looking into the area. Meanwhile, you can protect yourself from being scammed by following these three tips. Check the creator's credentials. Many crowdfunding sites verify that the person has a Facebook page, but anyone can make a fake Facebook page. Analyze the page. Are the friends real or just filler? Are there real-time comments? Does the person have just one social media site or are they listed on other sites? A short timeline might indicate that the page was created just before asking for the funding. Dig into the creator's business background. Has he or she launched other projects successfully or supported other projects? Is there a professional online profile that demonstrates expertise in this area? Be suspicious. Is the person trying to fund the same project on multiple crowdsourcing sites? That could show an attempt to raise as much money from as many people as possible. If you learn about crowdfunding scam or fell for a fraud yourself, take action by filing a complaint with the Federal Trade Commission or your state local attorney general. And warning about consumers by commenting on the creator's profile on the crowdfunding site itself. Crowdfunding is a great way to bring promising ideas to reality. Just take care that the reality isn't a scam. Yeah, it's I am amazed that it happens. I'm amazed that in this world we've come up with this concept of crowdfunding, and I'm amazed that everybody is so trusting. It seems to be a generational thing. We're going to get some great innovations and products out of this, but it's these types of things that are going to be more prevalent as we go along. All right, we're going to take another quick break, do the news and weather. We'll be back with more of Tech Today in just a few minutes.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Welcome back to Tech Today on HunterChamberRadio.com. Windows 10 is upon us. It is being installed on many machines. We've reported that numerous times. I myself have had mostly success, but a few very, very difficult problems going on that I'm still trying to figure out. So it's a hit or miss. You can be very successful and be up and running in no time, and then you could be pulling your hair out in another time. But regardless of the Windows 10 installs, Forbes reports that Windows 10 worst feature now installing on Windows 7 and Windows 8. This is on Forbes.com, and Gordon Kelly is the contributor. And he says, last week came the warning, now comes the rollout. The most criticized aspect of Windows 10 is coming to Windows 7 and 8 after Microsoft released upgrades, which enable the company to extensively track what users are doing. The releases bring good and bad news. The bad news, the three updates in question, and here are the numbers. So if you want to block them, uninstall them, or skip them, they are the following. KB3075249, KB3080149, and KB3068708, which replaces KB3022345. Now, those are numbers related to updates. When you go into Windows Update and you look at the history, you can see those installation numbers. They are related to certain patches, fixes, upgrades. All add consumer experience, this is in quotes, consumer experience and diagnostic telemetry to Windows 7 and 8. This is shorthand for monitoring how you use Windows and sending that data back to Microsoft HQ for evaluation. Let me just warn you that when you do install Windows 10, one of the options pops up. Would you like to do express settings or custom settings? And the custom settings reveal that all of the monitoring is turned on. So you definitely want to go into custom settings and you want to turn all those monitoring choices off when you update Windows 10. Worse still, software specialist site GHacks, which first discovered the tracking notes, these updates will ignore any previous user preferences. So even if you've chosen before, you still have to unchoose them now. These four updates ignore existing user preferences stored in Windows 7 and 8, including any edits made to the hosts file, and immediately starts exchanging user data with vortexwindata.microsoft.com and settings-win.data.microsoft.com. The good news is now they have been launched. The positive news is KB3075249 and KB3080149 have been classed as optional in Windows Update. This means they won't install without Windows 7 and Windows 8 users giving them express permission to do so. So when you go to Windows Update, you'll notice that there are a number of them that are required, and they are already set up to go. You'll also realize that there is a number of updates that are quote-unquote optional, and you have to click to go and see what they're about and then checkmark them to allow them to install. So if you see these two numbers, you can choose not to download them. On the flip side, KB3068708 is classified as recommended, which means Windows 7 and 8 PCs will with Windows Update set to automatic. Automatic will install it by default. That said, for the update to appear in the first place, you will need to be a participant in Microsoft's Customer Experience Improvement Program, an opt-in program which already has you agreeing to send user data to the company. So for those of you who have already been part of the CEIP, you are going to get these updates. As PC World only CEIP members who now feel uncomfortable about being a part of the program will have to jump through hoops to get out of it. Most programs make CEIP options available from the help menu, although for some products you might need to check settings, options, or preferences menus. Some pre-release products that are under development might require participation in CEIP to help ensure the final release of the product improves frequently used features and solves common problems that exist in the pre-release software. PC World also confirms GHAC's observation that KB3075249 and KB3080149 and KB3068708 all bypass user privacy settings in the Windows host file. So the easiest option for Windows 7 and 8 users is to uninstall and then hide it. That's right. Go up to Windows Update, go to the history, click on those numbers, and have them uninstalled, and then have them hid so that they are not going to be prompted for you to install them again. All right? So monitoring is coming our way. Microsoft feels it's important to do. And in the world of NSA world, it's not something I certainly want to do. Now, quite honestly, you're going to get monitored with in certain cases, whether you like it or not. But if you have the options to get out of it, you really should choose it, because then it puts you on some legal footing anyway. Separate from the world of Windows, we move on to products like cameras. And Canon has a 250 megapixel sensor that fits in a DSLR. 250 megapixels. Back in the, about 10 years ago, the best cameras out there had 6 megapixels. Now we have 250 megapixels. Back when we had 6 megapixel, everybody said that was the best you could get. The granularity for blowing up pictures was tremendously great. You could do something like 11 by 16 inch photos and prints, and the quality would be fabulous. I can't imagine the depth that you get from a 250 megapixel camera sensor. You could probably see if you blew up your fingers, you could probably see every grain in your fingerprint. It just got to be fascinating to have that type of capability of data and saturation of the data. So Canon has announced a 250 megapixel image sensor that would fit into a consumer-grade DSLR. The Japanese camera maker says the new APS-H CMOS sensor enables distinguishing of lettering on the side of an airplane at a distance of approximately 11 miles from a shooting location. As well as being the densest sensor of its size, it's also extremely fast. It has a readout speed of 1.25 billion pixels per second, meaning it can shoot its super high resolution images at up to 5 frames per second. Rather than aiming for the retail market, Canon is targeting the new sensor as specialized surveillance and crime prevention tools, no duh, ultra high resolution measuring instruments, and other industrial equipment. The actual resolution of the sensor is 19,580 times 12,600 pixels, or 246.7 megapixels. But Canon is being liberal with its rounding. APS-H is a semi-defunct sensor size, measuring approximately 29.2 millimeters by 20.2 millimeters. That's slightly larger than the APS-C units found in Nikon and Canon's entry-level DSLRs and Sony's mirrorless cameras, but significantly smaller than 35-millimeter equivalent full-frame sensors in cameras used by professionals and enthusiasts. It's difficult to picture a world where we'd all wander around with 250 megapixel cameras. But let's take a minute to ponder Canon's history. In 2007, it announced a then unthinkable 50 megapixel CMOS prototype. In 2010, it hit 120, and earlier this year, Canon released a pair of 50 megapixel DSLRs, the 5Ds and the 5DsR. So where will we be in 8 years? This is fabulous. 11 miles away to be able to see the lettering on a plane. That's incredible. Who knows what we're going to be able to do with that? But I just don't. I can't imagine how big those photos are. Right now, I have enough trouble trying to keep and hold on to the densest megapixels that I get from my 6-megapixel camera. There, 3,000 to 5,000 megabytes per photo. How big could a 250 megapixel camera's photo be? I can't imagine. You would fill up your hard drive in a matter of minutes. So, and how to upload something like that or download something like that? There's other issues that come with it, but it's still fascinating to be able to do it. And as we continue to find better ways to store data in smaller and smaller places with more compression, it'll be very interesting to see. We move on from there. Well, we have a couple other things to talk about when we get back, essentially having to do with smartphones. We're going to be talking about a bunch of smartphone apps, and we're going to be talking about new smartphones. So that's all coming up on Tech Today in just a few minutes. We got to do a station ID, and we'll be back right after this.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits,
Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
All right, we're back. You're listening to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Chris Bianco here, and now we're going to focus on smartphones and smartphone apps. We talked about one right at the beginning there where you could order cocktails. That was kind of our highlight of the week, but we got other ones here, and TechCrunch has provided us with more information. And here's one that gives you an understanding about how focused the apps are nowadays to meet a certain need. So here is one called Pay to Be Social. Is Tinder meets Groupon for trains? Now, Tinder is a matchmaking hookup app, but that's not exactly what we're going here. And Groupon, we're all very familiar with now. It's a way of putting out a social set of coupons and having so many people available to bring down the price of a particular product or particular service as an advertising for the business and as a better promotion or buy or value for potential consumers. So Pay to Be Social is Tinder meets Groupon for trains. Steve O'Hear posted this on yesterday, the 7th, and he said it's on TechCrunch, as I said, and it says, think Tinder meets Groupon for trains, says Edward Byrne, who's a co-founder and business director of Pay to Be Social. The newly launched iOS app lets commuters in the UK seek out others who are planning the same train journey so they can socialize and band together to qualify for off-peak group train ticket discounts, hence the Groupon comparison. It's also timely given that train fares in the UK are set to rise again. So necessity meet is the mother of invention, is it not? So we are a tech startup that loves smart tech but wants to encourage face-to-face social interaction. The app allows you to group with other people traveling your same train journey and gives you the opportunity to save 33% off your ticket price there and then through the National Rail Group Save discount of 3 to 9 people. So being social to get rewarded, explains Burns. In other words, the initial draw is the opportunity to form a flash mob by words, not Burns, to essentially game the existing group discount offered from National Rail. But there are also commonalities with other online to offline social or dating apps. The Pay to Be Social app begins by asking you to enter the itinerary of your potential train journey and then matches you to others who have similar plans. Once three or more people are matched, group chat is unlocked. You can also browse future and past groups. Of course, you're also asked to fill out a profile, including indicating your relationship status, and there's the Tinder comparison that comes into play. We are first to market with our Tinder meets Groupon model, says Burns. The closest competitor, I would say, is Maxi, M-A-A-X-I, the Group Finder taxi app. But again, we are very different as we provide the benefit of social hub, with the added bonus of trying to save money on off-peak train tickets by simply grouping up with others. Asked now how Pay to Be Social plans to make money, Burns says the UK startup will take a small cut of any savings a user makes if they successfully match up with enough people to secure a group train discount. However, given the plethora of restrictions that National Rail places on its group save offering, I can see the young company having to find other avenues to monetization should the social aspect of the app take off. Or it should be monetization. Anyway, you start to see how the way that social and apps are evolving. They're looking for something specific. You can see how this got evolved because there's a price rate, price increase going on. People are very train prevalent in the UK. A discount for groups exists, so that's the point A to point B mission here of pay to be social. And simply having people buy into the concept of meeting other people for the sake of getting a group discount sounds pretty cool. Now, how do we apply this to other places in the United States? You'll have to look into it, but quite honestly, there's plenty of ways to get better prices when you go on a certain day. So let's take an amusement park for starters. Amusement parks have group rates, do they not? Hotels have group rates, right? So there's a way to start figuring out how to get in touch with everybody, figure out the day and time, and then match it all together, even though there might be no commonality, such as like a wedding or something like that, going on. The fact that you're all going to the same place at the same time is the commonality unto itself. So you could be going, let's say, to Busch Gardens, and everybody wants to be staying in the same place, or Disney World, even better. You all are going to the Disney World, and you want to somehow get better rates, because Disney World is extremely expensive. You could find out what the group minimum is, everybody pairs together, and all of a sudden you're a group, and Disney World is obligated to give you that package. Now, when does the business themselves catch on that this isn't really a true group, it's a manufactured artificial type group? I don't know. I don't know if they really care. But if they believe that you wouldn't be coming otherwise and you're coming because you're a group, then they're going to buy into it as well. Very interesting. Just goes to show you how the app world is evolving. Speaking of apps, these are 5 apps you'll want to download this week. September 8th, it's A.J. Dellinger. September 6th, excuse me. Can't be September 8th. It came out 2 days ago. App stores are crowded places these days, and because storage space on your phone is often at a premium, you'll want to fill it with not only the best but also the most helpful apps out there. Because they come and go quicker than the latest fashion trends, the digging through Google Play and iTunes App Store or any of the others, such as a mission, a little nudge in the right direction, is often very welcome. Here are the apps that we think you need to check out this week, and this is on digitaltrends.com. First one is there's a trend in app market to try and gamify the learning process. The most popular example is Duolingo, a language learning app that uses a leveling system and interactive challenges to teach people the basics of various languages. Gamification is a trend for a good reason. It works on a lot of people. Now the folks behind popular music apps like Piano Dustbuster are applying the same game-style principles to learning how to play piano. It's called Simply Piano, is what you would get if you took Guitar Hero and mashed it up with Rosetta Stone. Designed to teach anyone how to play with no prior experience, Simply Piano teaches the most important principles of the instrument and shows the player how to apply them once their hands are in the keyboard. The app automatically picks up on your playing when you set your iPhone near a keyboard. It then provides instant feedback and step-by-step instructions that will teach you classic tunes and pop favorites. It is available on iTunes. The next one is let's see what I got here. TEP, spelled TEP. Did you have a Tamagotchi when you were a kid? If you did, you know the trauma that occurred when you forgot to feed it and the digital pet perished. TEP brings back that same concept with a tiny giraffe character that counts on you to take care of it by taking care of yourself. When you work out and stay active, you also care for TEP and improve its life. When you slack off, TEP suffers. If you won't stay active for your own good, at least do it for your poor, helpless giraffe. How about that? So it's a parallel universe, and that's on iTunes and in Google Play. Next one is called Level, and every day counts. That's the concept behind Level. The simple app for achieving your goals makes your focus on a single thing every day. Tell it what you want to accomplish, and it will send you just two reminders every day for that one task. It will ask you if you accomplished your goal, and you can keep track of your progress over time. Sometimes when you strip away the extra complications, it becomes much easier to actually get things done. That's only available on iTunes for right now. Jevvy, spelled J-A-V-V-Y, is learning, teaching you how to code in Java. How often do you hear that everyone should learn to code? It's the key to our future developments, from the web to the new machines and technology that have to be programmed. And knowing how to speak the language will make it easier to navigate in a new economy. Jevvy teaches you how to speak the language, or teaches you how to code in Java while on the go. The app packs lessons into bite-sized little packages to play during your commute or on the downtime, so you can learn at your own pace and pick up the skills that you need. That's in iTunes and Google Play. And Next Keyboard. There's tons of keyboards out there, right? Apple lagged behind Android in allowing users to install custom keyboards, but the floodgates opened, and we're still seeing new ones pop up every day. A recent favorite in Next Keyboard, a full-featured option that is up on the new way people communicate, emojis and stickers. There are over 1,400 emojis and stickers. 1,400 emojis packed into Next Keyboard, all just a few taps away from being included in a message and sent to a friend. And that's available on iTunes. So you have it. Five apps that you might consider. And a couple of them throwing in gamification, which is the way we learn right now. It's absolutely true. And then here's from Business Insider, an article about the latest smartphones, the 17 best smartphones in the world. Steve Kovach of Tech Insider reported that here they are. So let's get them to you. The BlackBerry Passport is number 17. Quite honestly, I don't think I would touch it. BlackBerry Classic looks a lot like the BlackBerry Bold from a few years ago. Still wouldn't touch it. That is about $330. The Nokia Lumina 830 is one of the most recent phones from Microsoft. It runs the Windows Phone 8 operating system, and it's around $400. Number 14 is the iPhone 5C. That's $449. Everybody knows that one. Nexus 6 is number 13, Google's latest flagship phone. Google is expected to announce new Nexus phones at the end of September. You might want to wait for that one, or you could check out the Nexus 6 review. The Nexus 6 is $499. iPhone 5S is $549, but you know the iPhone 6 is out there right now, right? The Moto G is a steal at $180. So if you're looking for a good first phone for your kids, it'll be a fairly good one. It has less of the bloated software extras that you typically find in Samsung or HTC phones. Number 10 is LG G4. That's a $600. Latest flagship phone from LG. Best screens and best cameras ever put on a smartphone, according to Business Insider. HTC One M9 is the flagship HTC phone, and it retails for $630. Number 8 is OnePlus 2. And the OnePlus 2 is a sequel to the hottest Android phones in 2015-14. The phone was a premium specs like fingerprint sensor and powerful camera, but costs half as much as other high-end phones. It retails for $329. Number 7 is the Moto X Pure. Proves you don't need to spend a fortune to get a great phone. It's $400. It's a Google's version of Android. The Samsung Galaxy S6 Edge is number 6.